I'd like to thank Aaron K. for sponsoring this week's Torah content. June is less than a month away, which means that I'll soon be transitioning into summer writing mode, with more Substack articles and fewer recorded shiurim. The bulk of these articles will remain free. However, if you would like to support my Torah and access additional spicy written content, consider becoming a paid subscriber by going to rabbischneeweis.substack.com.
Hello, I am Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the audio version of the four-page article I wrote and published on my Substack at rabbischneeweis.substack.com on March 1st, 2024, and the article is entitled Ki Tisa, Please Erase Me from Your Book. The day after the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu makes a startling statement. Quote from Shmos 32, Psukim 30 through 34, the next day Moshe said to the people, "You have sinned a great sin, and now let me go up to Hashem. Perhaps I can gain atonement for your sin." Moshe returned to Hashem and said, "Please, this people has sinned a great sin, and they have made for themselves a god of gold. And now, if you forgive their sin, and if not, erase me, please, from your book which you have written." Hashem said to Moshe, "He who has sinned against me, I will erase from my book. And now go lead the people to where I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel will go before you, but on the day that I have a reckoning, I will reckon to them their sin." End quote. Before we delve into the problem of Moshe's petition, we need to address three ambiguities in the text. One, the elliptical phrase, "And now if you forgive their sin, ... Two, the identity of "your book which you have written." And three, the punctuation of Hashem's response. Our analysis will follow Sforno's commentary. Since readers are likely to be more familiar with Rashi's reading above, we will address these ambiguities using Rashi as a foil to Sforno. Number one, Rashi treats this verse 32, as a mikra katsar, a truncated verse, reading it as, "If you forgive their sin, then all is good. But if not, please erase me from your book which you have written." In contrast, Sforno translates this elliptical phrase as, "Whether or not you forgive their sin, please erase me from your book which you have written." In other words, Moshe was not presenting a set of alternative choices, nor was he stating an ultimatum. He was making an unqualified request to be erased. Two, whereas Rashi explains that Moshe was asking to be erased, quote, "from the entire Torah, so that people should not say about me that I was not worthy enough to pray effectively for them," end quote, Sforno understands "your book which you have written" as a reference to the allegorical book of records in which God records our merits and iniquities to mete out reward and punishment. Chazal employ this metaphor frequently. For example, quote, "All your deeds are written in a book," from Pirkei Avos 2:1, and quote, "The ledger is open and the hand records," from Pirkei Avos 3:16. Three, Rashi doesn't comment on Hashem's answer, but presumably he reads this as a negative response to Moshe's question, as if to say, "No, he who has sinned against me, I will erase from my book." Sforno, however, reads it as a rhetorical question. Who is there that sinned against me that I should erase him from my book? Nobody. The question is, what was Moshe asking for and what did Hashem mean in his response? Sforno explains, quote, "Whether you agree to forgive," literally to lift or bear, "their sin, or you do not agree to lift, to forgive, erase my merits from your book and add them to their account, to their cheshbon, so that they will merit forgiveness." Okay, next verse. "Who is there that sinned against me that I should erase his merits from my book so that he shall merit a corresponding forgiveness for their sins? This is impossible, for this is contrary to divine justice. Indeed, each person must bear the punishment for his own iniquity and receive reward for his own merits, since, quote, a mitzvah cannot extinguish an avera, a transgression," end quote, from Sota 21a. "I certainly will not add your merits to their account," end quote, from the Sforno. Hashem's response makes perfect sense. Divine justice dictates that Hashem rewards each person for their own merits and punishes each person for their own sins. The alternative would be unjust and would likely raise the objection from Avraham Avinu, quote, "God forbid, will the judge of the whole earth not do justice?" end quote. Not only does Hashem's response make sense, but it is arguably the primary source for Judaism's stance on divine justice. Out of the many references to reward and punishment in the Torah, the Rambam, in his introduction to Chelek, cites Hashem's response to Moshe's question as the scriptural source for this fundamental principle. Quote, "The 11th fundamental principle is that he rewards with good those who fulfill the commandments of the Torah and punishes the one who transgresses its admonitions." The verse which points to this fundamental principle is that which is stated, "And now, if you forgive their sin, and if not, erase me, please, from your book which you have written." And he, may he be exalted, responded, "He who has sinned against me, I will erase from my book." A proof that the one who serves him and the sinner are both known before him to pay good reward to this one and to punish this one. End quote. The problem does not lie in Hashem's response, but in Moshe's request. What was Moshe thinking? Reward and punishment is not a point system. The notion of vicarious merit is as unjust as the notion of vicarious punishment. Of course, Hashem wouldn't be willing to transfer the merits of a tzaddik to the account of a sinner so that the latter might attain forgiveness. That would be unjust. How can we understand what Moshe was asking for? I believe the answer is embedded in Sforno's commentary, but we're going to need to do some work to tease it out. Here is his commentary again, with a greater focus on the Hebrew and a different emphasis in bold. Quote, whether you agree to forgive their sin, nose chatasam, literally lift or bear from the root nun sin aleph, or whether you do not agree to forgive, again, lases, literally lift or bear from the same root, nun sin aleph. So whether or not you forgive their sin, erase my merits from your book and add them to their account so that they will merit forgiveness, slicha, different word, from samech lamed ches. Okay, next commentary in the next pasuk. Who is there that sinned against me that I should erase his merits from my book so that he shall merit corresponding forgiveness, slicha, for their sins? This is impossible, for it is contrary to divine justice. Indeed, each person must bear, no say again from nun sin aleph, the punishment for his own iniquity and receive reward for his own merits, since mitzvah cannot extinguish an avera. I certainly will not add your merits to their account. End quote from the Sforno. There are two concepts at play here, expressed by two terms. Nisius hachet, from nun sin aleph, lifting or bearing the sin, and slichas hachet, from samech lamed ches, forgiving or pardoning the sin. If we were left to our own devices, it would be difficult to discern the meaning and implications of Sforno's words. Thankfully, Sforno had a student, Rabbi Elia Dinola, who took notes on his teacher's shiurim, lessons. These notes were recently published by Rabbi Moshe Kravetz, who graciously made them available on Al HaTorah. Here are Rabbi Elia's notes on Sforno's approach. Quote, and now let me go up to Hashem, perhaps I can gain atonement for you. I do not hope for slicha, forgiveness, but for kapara, atonement, because kippur, atonement, is not mechila, forgiveness, but rather the alleviation and minimization of the iniquity. As it is written in Vayikra 4:31, the Kohen shall atone for him, and he will be forgiven. Thus we see that atonement is not forgiveness. Likewise, Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this language, please, this people has sinned a great sin, and specified the sin. And now, whether or not you bear their sin, please erase me from your book that you have written. In other words, whether or not you bear their sin, erase me from the merits of your book which you have written. For if you will bear along with the erasure of my merits, this will result in a complete slicha. For bearing is not complete slicha, but only a lightening of the punishment. And if you do not bear means erase my merits and consider their sin against that measure of merit, and erase from their sin the portion corresponding to all my merits. Hashem said, who is there that sinned against me that I should erase him from my book? This should be read as a rhetorical question, as if to say, who is the one who sinned? Even with regards to that individual, I will not erase him from my book, for a mitzvah doesn't extinguish an avera, all the more so from one person to another. Only the soul that sins will die, for thus is the divine justice established. End quote from Rav Elia. Rav Elia clarifies two points. First, there is a difference between forgiveness, slicha in biblical Hebrew or mechila in rabbinic Hebrew, which refers to the removal of the sin, and atonement, kapara or nisius, lifting or bearing, which refers to the alleviation and minimization of the sin. See the Sforno on Vayikra 16:30. Second, Moshe was not asking for his merits to be transferred directly to the account of the Israelites to secure an automatic slicha for them. Rather, his hope was that if Hashem were to bear the sins of Israel along with the erasure of his own merits, that combination would result in a complete slicha. But this is still far from comprehensible. What exactly was Moshe proposing? What would it mean for Hashem to erase his merits? How would this erasure, combined with Hashem's bearing of their sin, result in a complete slicha for them? What exactly did Moshe mean, according to Rabbi Elia, when he said, erase my merits and consider their sin against that measure of merit and erase from their sin the portion corresponding to all my merits? What kind of metaphysical accounting is this? And at the end of the day, how did Moshe reconcile this with divine justice, by which each person is punished for their own iniquities and rewarded for their own merits? I owe an additional debt of gratitude to Rabbi Kravitz for his extensive annotations, without which I would not have thought to look at Rabbi Elia Dinola's commentary on Tehillim 32:1. There he provides a critical piece of the puzzle. Quote, furthermore, you should note that the word nose is not slicha, but rather the toleration of the sin by delaying punishment for another generation. As Moshe said, and now if you will tolerate their sin, from Shemos 32:32. And Hashem answered, I will do as you say. And on that day that I have a reckoning, I will reckon to them their sin. from 32-34. End quote from Rabbi Elia. This opens up a path to understanding. If Nesius HaChet refers to the deferment of the punishment for another generation, then Moshe's proposal can be reframed as follows. If you, Hashem, are willing to be Nosei Avon, i.e. to tolerate their iniquity for another generation, and if you are willing to transfer a proportionate amount of my merits, whatever that means, then there is hope that they'll do teshuva and attain complete slicha. In other words, Moshe is not asking to trade off his own merits for their slicha. Rather, he's asking for his merits to be quote-unquote used up, again, whatever that means, in order to delay the Israelites' punishment, giving them enough time to do teshuva and merit slicha by their own efforts. This proposition is not contrary to divine justice. This hidden gem from Rabbi Elia yields another important clue. Apparently, this reckoning verse, after Hashem's refusal to erase Moshe from his book, is part of Hashem's response. Here is Sforno's commentary on that verse, quote, "And on the day when I have a reckoning, when they will continue to sin, as, for example, in the sin of the spies, I will reckon to them their sin, that is, this sin of the golden calf, and I will no longer continue to overlook it. Similar to, but, quote, but if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die," from Malachim 1, 152. And so he, Hashem, indicated when he said there at the sin of the spies, quote, from Bamidbar 14, 11, "How long will this people despise me?" End quote. For since they have repeated their folly, they are certain to continue incurring guilt. As our sages stated, when a man transgresses and repeats his offense, it becomes permitted to him. That is, it becomes as if it were permitted. That's a reference to Yuma 86b. End quote from Sforno. Before we factor this into our analysis, here are Rabbi Elia's additional notes on the same verse. Quote, "And now go lead the people," etc. "But on the day that I have a reckoning, I will reckon to them their sin." This means that I will not annihilate them, as I said. Rather, I will punish them on the day of my reckoning. Likewise, the sages said, there is no iniquity of Israel that doesn't contain a litra, a small amount, of the sin of the golden calf. Sanhedrin 102a. And this second tefillah, in which Moshe asked for Israel's sin to be tolerated and for his merits to be erased and added to their account, was effective in helping the Benonim, the middling Jews, whose involvement in the sin was neither fully wicked nor righteous. It was effective in helping the Benonim not to be annihilated. Regarding the tzaddikim, the righteous, it was said earlier, immediately after Hashem informed him of the calf and Moshe prayed for their forgiveness, quote, Hashem relented from the harm that he said he would do to his people. The Rishayim, the wicked people, who made the calf, died immediately, some in the plague, some by the sword of their brethren, and some by being forced to drink the water, for there were levels among them as well. End quote from Rabbi Elia. Yet another important point emerges from these commentaries. Contrary to our initial reading, Moshe did not receive an unequivocal no as an answer to his request. Rather, Hashem rejected the specific method that Moshe proposed, combining the erasure of his merits with the deferment of Israel's punishment so that they could eventually attain slicha through tshuva. But Moshe's tefillah was effective in helping the Benonim. Hashem accepted Moshe's request to delay their punishment, saying that he would not annihilate them, but instead would punish them on the day of their reckoning in the future. This tefillah was specifically on behalf of the Benonim, since the Tzaddikim had already been saved and the Rishayim had already been destroyed. Thanks to Moshe, the punishment of these Benonim would be held in suspension. If they did teshuvah, as Moshe hoped, they would be forgiven. But if they continued to sin, then Hashem's punishment for those subsequent sins would be increased on account of the sin of the calf. Tragically, this is exactly what happened with the sin of the spies. And this time Hashem did not forgive them, but instead decreed, quote, "In this wilderness they shall cease to be, and there they shall die," end quote from Bamidbar 14:35. Now that we understand the ultimate result of Moshe's tefillah, we can reverse engineer his original request. What was Moshe proposing when he said, "Erase my merits from your book and add them to their account so that they will merit forgiveness"? Here is my current take, which is 90% worked out at the time of publication. According to the Rambam, based on Shmona Parakim chapters 2 and 7 and Hilchos Tshuva chapter 3, merits refer to a person's intellectual and ethical virtues. Without putting forth his request, Moshe would have gone on to lead the surviving tzaddikim through the wilderness into the land of Israel. Because they were tzaddikim, Moshe's merits, i.e. his virtues, would have been utilized in full during the remainder of his mission. He would have taught them Torah, accustomed them to mitzvos, and prepared them to conquer and settle the land, using all of his perfection and leadership to train up this kingdom of priests and holy people. But Moshe wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to save the Benonim as well. Moshe knew that the only way to do this would be to, quote-unquote, expend his own virtues on the effort to facilitate their long teshuva process while simultaneously handling the increased burden of leadership. of leaving them. He expressed this as an erasure of his virtues because effectively that's what would need to happen for this plan to work. Consider the following loose analogy. If Oppenheimer had been tasked with leading a small team of top-tier physicists on the Manhattan Project, his merit as a physicist would have been fully utilized. However, if thousands of college-aged physics majors were added to that team, and Oppie was expected to accomplish his original mission while also monitoring and mentoring these less capable newcomers, his merit as a physicist would necessarily be diminished with the time and energy spent catering to their needs and making accommodations for their lower level of expertise. This is an example of Moshe's selflessness. He could have allowed Hashem to purge the nation of all but the cream of the crop. Instead, he volunteered to relinquish the higher role he could have taken as leader of the elite so that he could help rehabilitate the mediocre masses, bearing them like a nurse carries a baby. If this explanation is correct, then what did Hashem mean when he rejected the first part of Moshe's plan, saying, "Who is there that sinned against me that I should erase him from my book?" I don't know. That is a question for you to think about over Shabbos and for me to tackle in a future article or shiur.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.